next week. Adam Lepp reporting for The Talking Place.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor Craig, and you're listening to Study His Word. And welcome. Thank you for sticking around. If you were sticking around from earlier shows, and thank you if you're just now joining us. I have today a special guest, and many of you regular listeners know him very well. He is a good friend of mine, and he's a long-term radio personality. We'll talk about that a little bit, but he's been in this business for a long time, including having been here for I don't know how many years, but I know it was a number of years.
3 years
you were at this station. But anyway, it's my brother in Christ, Nate Redmond. Nate, how are you?
Good, Pastor Craig. It's good to be sitting across the table from you again.
It is good to be sitting across the table from you. We spent a lot of time, but you were sitting in the host chair.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in the guest seat.
Yeah, usually I wound up at the controls, didn't I?
That's right. That was a train wreck. The show with no name.
Wasn't that something?
It was fun.
And the response that it got was
incredible.
Unlike anything I've had in my radio days.
You know, and
we
thank you listeners because it was because I mean every day I was getting emails, and you were getting emails, and
Terry
got a few emails.
Yeah.
And so the response was incredible. So
it really was, and it was just a ball to put on. We just had a good time.
We had no script. We had no lines. I mean, we didn't even have an outline. We didn't have a format.
Nope.
I mean, literally, when I'd be walking in the door, I would have no idea what we were going to talk about.
Nope, but it usually wound up being something about food.
Yeah, we always found our way back to food, one way or another. And it was usually pretty quick.
It was, yeah.
So what you've been doing with yourself since then? Because I imagine some of our listeners probably don't know, but what you've been doing with yourself?
Well, we've been, the wife and I have been traveling Ohio, and most of our trips have been Ohio with just about two exceptions, and we've been doing that since February. And we have toured all of Ohio's 88 counties, and what I mean by that is we went to some place that county was known for, a restaurant or an attraction. Say, for instance, we went to Montgomery County. So I think I got the right county. Montgomery County is Dayton, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay. So for Dayton. So you might think, oh, okay, so you went to the Air Force Museum. Well, we've been there before, but so we went to some place called the Packers Museum. And are you familiar with that, Pastor Craig?
No, I'm not.
The Packers Cars.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And it's a beautiful, they have beautiful cars.
Actually, I remember seeing the photos you posted.
Okay. And that's what we did for that county. And then we might, we went out to eat to kind of a famous restaurant in Dayton, the Spaghetti Warehouse. And so we would do that for Montgomery County. And that's kind of an example of what we do for each county. We'd find something to do. And so we toured all 88 counties. And that was a lot of fun. We did that February through about September. We got it all done. So we really rocked through those counties. We would go several counties in a day.
You typically went two or three counties a day.
We did.
Yeah.
We did. And it was a lot of fun. The only bust, it wasn't a complete bust, but down at the tip of Ohio, Lawrence County. We went down there, and there was supposed to be a state park down there, and we never found it. So we did find something called the Olive Furnace, though. It was one of those old yep. furnaces that they used to fire back in the day. So we did find that, so we got a picture with that. So we did find something to account for that county that we technically, quote-unquote, visited, but there wasn't much in Lawrence County. Just a lot of trees.
So typically that would be your Saturday.
Right.
And then what would you do when your trip was over and you were back home at 6:30 every Saturday night?
Well, 6:30 we would go live on our Facebook page, and we would tell about our trip. We would do a little review. So we would kind of review where we went and tell the folks, okay, so we went today. We went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and we've never been there before, and it's got four or five levels, and, you know, we'd go in depth about it and talk about it. And we would generally, we never really went live more than maybe 15 minutes because we didn't want to, you know, inundate people too much. We want to keep people interested. And so, and then at about 9 o'clock on Saturday night, we would go and post a bunch of pictures. It could be as few as maybe 10 and then maybe as many as 40 if we hit a museum up. Yeah. So we would do that. And so every Saturday was just a lot of fun. We just look forward to it. And we still are doing things. We of course, hit the 88 counties. And so from September to now, we've just been hitting places that are maybe of interest to, like, say, for instance, that are mentioned in the Ohio Road Trip group, which is a popular group on Facebook. Get on there and find something to tour. This past weekend, we went over to, now I'm not going to remember what we did this past weekend. Oh, shoot. But anyhow, okay, we went to Amish country, and we had, if Amber had been there, it had only been one time. We usually don't go to Layman's Hardware in Kidron, Ohio, which is a huge hardware plus more. I mean, there's tons of stuff in that store. So we did go to the traditional, you know, Hirschburgers for the bakery. And now there is a bakery that I think has better donuts than Hirschburgers. And if you go on towards Charm, there's a little sign. You go up a hill, and it's Miller's Bakery, and I think their cream filled donuts are better than Hirschburgers, but that's just my opinion. So we hit those two bakeries.
I think you're qualified to give an opinion on
donuts. Yeah, I look like it. I got the good. I got the Santa belly going on this time of year. So we enjoyed Layman's Hardware there in Kidron. They had Santa there for all the kids, and they had one of the Amish sleighs there that they had him taking pictures in. So that was really neat for all the kids there, and for the adults too, because the adults, you know, I went and got some pictures of him, and so that was pretty neat over there.
Okay, so you would just typically Saturday night you'd do a Facebook Live.
Yep.
At 6:30, and then about 9 o'clock you'd post all your pictures.
Yep. Correct.
Now, obviously, since it was Facebook Live, it's still there.
It's still there.
So that if anybody wants to go back and see. You can get all the, you know, you can watch the videos from all 88 counties. You can watch them from every Saturday.
Yep.
If you want to pick and choose, if there's something that was more appealing, you can. So where can someone who's been under a rock for the last year and doesn't know anything about that, where can they go to find your little short videos?
Sure. Just go to Facebook and type in Amber and Nate Adventures, not an N, and spelled out, A-N-D, Amber and Nate Adventures. It'll pop up, and you can go through and, hey, give us a follow while you're there, if you would. And you can go down through there and see all of our videos, all of our photos, and everything that we have to offer for you. And we just try to, we will not spam you with stuff, you know. We don't post stuff every hour, and you're like, oh man, does this ever stop? You know, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday through Sunday we'll post something, maybe give you a little break on Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday we do a little video called Snack Time at 6:30, where we try new snacks that are coming out, so we just have fun with that. Thursday we typically do a Throwback Thursday photo, so it's probably from someplace we've been in Ohio. People started that a while back. Just everybody started doing the Throwback Thursday, so we joined in. Today, this afternoon, we will post a Friday Funny, so it'll probably be Christmas-related, and it's just a little comic strip, you know. Saturday, of course, is what we already talked about, and then Sunday, we do the old Sunday selfie. So Amber and I get the phone, and we do a selfie, and we post the Sunday selfie. So it's just something fun that we do, and we try to be consistent with it, because we found that consistency works the best. And if you do something like this, we try to do that. And we've got something else that we're looking to do here in January. I post on the Ohio Road Trip groups because I wanted to go to a farm and see what the operation is like during the winter. Because everybody goes to the farms. You know, you have these farms like Young's Dairy and different farms around Ohio. Everybody goes in the spring. Well, I wanted to see the winter operation. So I posted on the Facebook and the Ohio Road Trip groups, hey, most of these places are closed now. Does anybody have a farm? Anybody know of any farms that are open this time of year, you know, for specifically for January, because we wanted to go on probably the second Saturday in January. So we got a lot of responses and some individual farmers that said, hey, just come on down, see my operation. One guy messaged me personally, said, hey, we're near Coshocton, come on over. And of course, we've traveled as much as 3 hours one way in Ohio, so we've had a 6-hour round trip in a Saturday, so Coshocton's no big deal for us.
That's right.
So we're thinking about checking out. He said, now, if it's a cold day, he said, I'm probably spending a lot of time thawing out my milking system on the cows. But he said, my cows are friendly. You can come on down, see the livestock and things like that. Of course, I heard about your little farm that you're going to be house-sitting for,
that's
too.
That's right.
Yeah.
Between Christmas and New Year.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
I'm going to be on a little 2-acre homestead.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have a couple of dogs and about 9 barn cats and 15 chickens and a couple of pigs. So, yeah.
Good. Yeah, good times. Yeah, it's always fun to see be with the animals. You know, animals, I think, can be very calming, you know, effect and just relaxing.
I got to tell you about the chickens. This is down at my son's place where I'm going to be during the holidays, and so he's got these chickens. So he built this really nice chicken coop. I mean, it's, I don't know what size it is, but it's like 8x12 chicken coop. And there's an area where they can go out the door, out the side of the one of the walls, into a pen. And so then they've got a pen that's easily 12x20, 12x15, I don't know, it's big. But then 3 months ago, he started letting them out of the pen. So they're truly free-range chickens. They'll go all over the property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at first they start out, and they just had a little area that they would go out to, and then and it's a bigger area, and a bigger area. And they're to the point now where they'll even go 20, 30 feet into the neighboring cornfield, you know, looking for bugs and stuff. But it's really kind of funny because when I'm down there and, you know, I get out of the truck and start walking around, a chicken will like come up and follow me around. It's like the chicken wants to see what you're doing, and he'll come up to you or she'll come up to you and just follow you around. Well, when the other chickens see that this one chicken is doing something, they want to know about it. So the next thing you know, you got like 8-10 chickens just following you all around. It's crazy. It's really funny. And of course, my grandkids, they're 7, 5, 3, and 1. And all three, the three oldest, the 3-year-old, the 5-year-old, and the 7-year-old, they'll grab the chickens and pick them up and carry them around. And it's so funny when you see a 3-year-old girl grab a chicken and carry it somewhere, and you know she's got her arms wrapped around its body, and one wing is sticking up in the air, and the other wing's folded against her body. And these chickens, they just let the kids carry them around.
They're just cool with it, huh? And that's something.
It's so funny.
they're just tame, very tame.
Yep. All right, so you're gonna visit one or maybe two farms?
Well, you know, there was a couple of people on there that said, just come on down. We're located. Another one said they're located in southern Ohio. So we just, we might over a couple months check out a couple of these. The one guy said, bring your boots. And I happen to have some nice, I have some boots that'll be appropriate for it too. Since I got my brace on, I'll have to probably jam my shoe back down, my foot down in there. But I'm going to get my boots there and, you know, get out there on the farm. Who knows? He might even enlist us in helping probably there over go. There. Yeah. So should be a lot of fun.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So what else is in store for 2020?
Okay, so what we're doing for this year is about every other week we're doing a specific restaurant, not per county, but I believe it's restaurants A to Z, and we have done different things A to Z, but we're going to try restaurants A to Z, and then while we're there for the restaurant, we're going to do something else in the area. Like, I'll just give you, for instance, if we're over in Amish country way, like, say, Sugar Creek direction, we have never been to the Age of Roundhouse Museum where the big locomotives are. We've never been there, so we might pop in there. And then on the off weeks, we'll just go someplace that is rated high that we've never been to. For instance, if we go up Cleveland way, can't think of there'd be a restaurant up there that we would visit, and then we would go tour like the aquarium up there. We've never been to the aquarium. That's high on the list. So on an off week we would do that, and so Amber's got the whole we went through together. Probably when we were on vacation in Myrtle Beach, we have a lot of downtime, so we just chill out and we usually plan the next year out, and so we've got the whole year planned. So we've got everything ready to go, and so we're looking forward to a good 2024, and we got a lot planned, and so just follow along with us, and we'll just have a good time.
I think it's great because, you know, I can tour the state of Ohio and go places I've never been, and I don't have to leave my living room.
Nope.
I can just watch and see where you guys went. It's great. I mean, I've watched most of your videos, and it's really great. You know, like you said, 10, 15 minutes, but you hit the high points, and really what is really neat is that 9 o'clock or so in the evening when you post the photos. You get a real good feel for some of that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there's just random things that you'll find. Like down when we went to the Ross County Museum, that they had the signing table for the Ohio Constitution. You'll just find these treasures around Ohio. Ohio has a lot to offer.
That's great.
And so does Marion County.
Yep.
Marion County has a lot to offer. We've been to the Heritage Hall many times, and they've got that newer, I guess it's probably 2 years old now, 3 years old now, they've got that newer section where they got the telephone museum in. Of course, my dad worked for a telephone company for many years. He started off with GTE and then Verizon and then Frontier. And then my grandpa was a telephone man for GTE. He retired. He would climb poles. So telephone kind of runs in my family. So we enjoyed going out to Heritage Hall and seeing that telephone museum. But Ohio has a lot to offer. It really does. And in fact, typically, I don't know for sure what we'll do this year. We usually take a vacation in the spring, and typically it's all Ohio, and a lot of times we'll probably stay here. We've talked about going to Greenfield Village, though, up in Michigan. We've never been there. We thought about going up there, but we'll probably spend a lot of time still in Ohio. But since we do Ohio every week, we might branch out a little bit for the spring vacation. But typically, one of our vacations, we just spend all in Ohio and just touring the state. And then, incidentally, my wife is off between Christmas and New Year's, so we'll be, I think one of the plans, and you probably have been here before, is going over to the Wax Museum, the Bible Walk.
Yep.
You've been there?
In Mansfield.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's been a while since we've toured the Old Testament, so we're thinking about going over there and touring the Old Testament over there, and that's really neat. You know, even if you're not a believer, or, you know, it's a great,
it is.
It's something to see.
Yeah, really
it's
is.
Very well done, so...
Well, slight shift in gears here. So back before the Friday before Thanksgiving, when I on my What's Happening Marion show, I gave obviously a listing of churches that were giving a free Thanksgiving meal to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran through the churches that I had found. There were several churches around Marion that were giving a free Thanksgiving meal. Sadly, most of the large churches in Marion were not doing anything for Thanksgiving for the community. But you are a member at Day Spring Wesleyan Church, mm-hmm. and it was basically the largest church in Marion that was doing something for Thanksgiving. So tell us, our listeners, a little bit about what you did Thanksgiving at the church.
Okay, yes. So what they do every year, now my wife and I have not participated so far as showing up and actually doing the meals. We give to it, you know, monetary gift. We give to the cause and have given some food to the cause before. I've always wanted, we're usually busy with family on Thanksgiving, but I've always wanted to show up and serve the meal because I think that'd be so much fun. But what they do is they offer a carry out, and you can eat it there too. I mean, they'll let you eat there. Anybody needing a free meal can come in and just eat on Thanksgiving. And if you call ahead up until, they'll give you about 3 days beforehand. If you call and get on their schedule, they will deliver however many Thanksgiving meals you want. I have never heard that there's a limit. I mean, if you want 50, I mean, you know, it might take a little while. But, you know, anybody that needs a Thanksgiving meal, they will do that. And I mean, it's your turkey, mashed potatoes, it's your dressing, it's your dessert, and they just do it up good. And everybody in the church donates food and donates money to the cause. Everybody just gets behind it. It's always fully funded. The church does not have to go into any debt, to my knowledge, for it. It's funded by the folks that attend there, and everybody believes in it. They have all the volunteers that they need. The toughest one that they have is, of course, getting drivers, you know, because nobody likes to jump in and type in the GPS, oh, here I go, I'm going in someplace I've never been before. But anyhow, they always get the drivers, and they always deliver all the meals, and it's something that they've done for years and years and years, and something that they offer. And Dayspring is all about outreach, and
I think you threw a number at me. Maybe it was an estimate, or maybe the exact number of how many meals they served Thanksgiving.
Yes, I believe it was 2,500.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah,
that's 2,500 meals for the community.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 2,500 meals for the community, and they don't mess around when it comes to that, and they'll be doing it for years to come. Our current pastor, Pastor Chuck, is very you know, ministry minded and believes in helping out the community. If you go downtown to the Founders Park down there, they set up, and I believe, so far as I know, financed most of the Christmas display that you'll see flashing down there. They got the cool flashing lights down there, and it's decorated. They decorated it, and I do believe financed it, so far as I know, unless some other organization did, but I think they did. So they did that. They did the trunk or treat back at Halloween time. You come in, there might have been 1,500 for that. 1,500 kids that came through for trunk or treat. But anyhow, you come in, and I mean, you can talk about stocking up on candy. Once you go through there, I mean, and you bring your kid, and they will stock up on candy. And then Christmas Eve, I heard you mentioned about our services. There's actually 4 services that day, should you want to attend. There's our usual morning services, 9:30 and 11, and then the actual Christmas Eve services at 3 and 5. And if you come, there's usually always a really cool little ornament that everybody gets every year. Last year, it was like a, I think it was made out of steel or some sort of metal, and it was a cutout of the nativity. It was really neat. So there'll be a small gift to everybody that attends, and come on out at 3 or 5, whichever one you prefer, and it's just a nice Christmas Eve service, a nice Christmas music. At the end, there's just you'll get to hear our pastor. He just a real small message. He won't be up there for an hour and a half, you know. Going on and on and on, we promise. He'll just deliver a small message. His theme this Christmas season has been Christmas, M-E-S-S, you know, because there's always it's sometimes a mess at Christmas time, you know, and he's been going through, he talked about losing his mom, and then the stage is set up in a way that it's a living room set up, and then there's like, I think they have like a fake cat in the tree, and you know, it's kind of a mess, you know. So Christmas, you know, that's kind of been the theme, and it's been a really neat theme this Christmas. So he'll probably wrap that up on Christmas Eve, I'd imagine, do a little recap or whatever. And last year or the year before, usually they end up with a candlelight at the end, probably. I'm sure singing Silent Night, that's usually the favorite. Yeah. But, it's interesting going to a bigger church like that. This is the biggest church I've ever attended. And probably, you know, there's between all the services and everything, there's probably over 1,000 people that come through Dayspring on a Sunday, I would say. The service I attend, just in the adult service, I can't tell you the kids are exploding. I mean, absolutely just going gangbusters. The people are bringing their kids right and left. But in the adult service that Amber and I attend, there's probably, I would guess, 300 people there, 250, 300 people there. And it's nice. You can come in, and if you need to slip out, you can slip out early, and it's not a big deal. You know, some churches, you know, you get up to leave, and like everybody turns around and looks at you, like, what are you gonna do? So this is kind of nice because you can slip in and slip out if you need to. There's no judgment here. Dayspring's just it's been a nice place to go, and we've been there since January of 2017. So coming up January, we'll have another anniversary of being there. Yeah. So I've been to all different sizes of churches. I've been to was started off with a small church, then went to kind of a medium church, and then been here. So I've been to a total of 3 churches in my lifetime. The first church I stayed 28 years.
That your mom's church.
My mom's church. 28 years I was there.
I've been to your mom's church.
Yeah.
We had a great evening of music.
We did. I was glad you got to go with us. Yeah, it was.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Their college choir. Yep.
Right. Yeah, and the thing that made it cool is because they didn't just sing all the favorite songs.
Right.
They sang some songs that I didn't even know.
Yeah, me neither. I hadn't heard some of them.
But it was really neat.
Mm-hmm.
It really was neat. I mean, I really enjoyed it that night.
And what we missed, I found out, because I went back and saw some of the live, we missed the handbells. They did handbells there at the very beginning. So had we got there about 10 minutes early, we would have seen the handbells. Missed the handbells.
We were too busy having dinner at El Campesino.
We were having a good dinner at El Campesino, weren't we?
Goes back to food every time.
It does every time. Absolutely.
But that was a nice evening. That really was great.
It was. And I think they usually try to do their Christmas program every year. So if you can, we'll just put it on the calendar for next Christmas season. Yeah. And I'm sure they'll have some new music that we probably have never heard, because their director, I think he's always got his I think his brains are always whirling, coming up with new things to try.
Well, I'm going to shift gears again, because as I mentioned in my introduction, that you are a longtime personality. Radio personality.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, why don't you give a kind of a, you know, your background in radio, how you started and how you got started, and just kind of...
Okay. Well, to go way back, I have been just a radio fan since I was a kid. I would set up a little radio studio in my home bedroom as a kid. And do you remember the little gadget, Mr. Microphone?
I sure do.
And you could broadcast a little ways. Well, I would broadcast on the frequency. I would set my frequency, because you could get a little tool and you could set it to the frequency, and I would broadcast down to my mom and make her listen to me. So I would play music, and so I was DJ all the way back then. And then at the age of 13, I became pretty big fan of a Southern gospel program that I would listen to, a radio personality by the name of Gary Lyons, and he was on WXML out of Upper Sandusky, and they're still on the air. Gary has since retired from that program, but he was on Tuesday nights at 6:30, and so he said, hey, why don't you come on up, be on the air with me. So I did. I went up there and went on the air with him. We just had a good time chatting. I was 13 years old, just a young kid. And the station manager called in that night. He said, man, he said, you did a good job. He said, you're welcome back with Gary anytime. So far as if he's okay with it, I'm okay with it. So I started going up kind of regularly with him. And then he got to the point where he wanted time off during the summer to spend more time golfing, actually. And so he took some time off, and so I got to host his spot during the summer months.
And how old were you at this point?
At that point, I was about 15 to 16 years old. So, and I got my own key to the station at 16 years old. They let me have my own key. Can you believe it? So me and my brothers would do this radio show, okay? It was Southern gospel music, but in between, we would cut up and just kind of do stuff on the order of the show with no name, just off-the-cuff stuff, offbeat stuff, and so I would call it Nate Redmond. The show had a name. It was the Southern Gospel Concert, but I would call it Nate Redmond and the In-Studio Audience, okay? And my brothers and I would just cut up, and we just have a big time, and the audience loved it. We got a following. Well, eventually I got my own. Gary took some permanent time off, and I had that spot for 2 or 3 years on Tuesday night, and then I got my own permanent spot on Wednesday night, and then did that for up until 2014. Did that up until 2014, and then took a couple years off, and then Scott mentioned about coming here, and I said, sure, I'd love to come here where Charlie Evers is, you know, be on Charlie Evers' station. Why not?
Because you grew up knowing who Charlie Evers was.
Oh, I grew up. I met Charlie Evers back in the mid-90s. My grandma took me to WMRN for a tour, and Charlie was working that day, and I actually have a picture of Charlie. I wish I would have got a picture of me and Charlie, but Grandma didn't take a picture of me and Charlie. She just took a picture of Charlie, because she was a huge fan, too, you know. But
Nate, get out of the way.
I
want a picture of Charlie.
But she had her nephew. His first name was Fred. Oh, Fred Massey. He was the host of the program that they had for years out there, Morning Magazine. Do you remember the Morning Magazine?
No.
Okay, that was on there before they went all automated.
Okay.
So Morning Magazine with Fred Massey, and he was there. So he directed the tour for us. And so we met Charlie and probably the newsmen back there. I don't remember who all was back there then, but some of the early newsmen. I don't know if I'm sure Jeff Ruth was there in the mid 90s. I'm sure he was. Don't remember if we met him that day. And my grandma hated, well, I shouldn't say hate, but she really disliked country music. And the country station was there too. And she wasn't that interested in touring the country station, but Fred showed us the country station anyways. So I was interested in seeing everything, yeah, you know. So, yeah. But anyhow, we saw the country station. But so that was fun. But yeah, I met Charlie way back then, of course. But he didn't know me though. Yeah. We got introduced here,
right.
You know.
So then when Scott reached out to you. You know,
yeah, I was just a big fan.
Like,
yeah,
Charlie's there.
Yeah, I I'd followed Charlie. You know, and because he had kind of he'd been with WDCM. Incidentally, I did a short little stint at WDCM when they were on 97.5 here. Just a short little stint. Just a few months. I did it. I remember in between. Being off shifting from Tuesday to Wednesday, I was not on the air anywhere. So from being from Tuesday to Wednesday on WXML and Upper, I did a short stint here in Marion on WDCM. I almost forget about this with another name that people will recognize here in the Marion area, Gary Rivers. Does that ring a bell?
It does ring a bell. And
yeah.
And I have a question because I might have the call letters wrong, but did Scott have a short stint at DCM?
He did.
Okay, I thought he did.
He did, and I think he was on in the mornings.
Okay, yeah.
I think he was. At one point, Gary Rivers, I do believe, was on in the mornings too. So I'm not sure where exactly those two timelines fit in.
Right.
But I was my little show that I was there for a few months aired right after the morning show from like 9 to noon, and they played basically adult contemporary is what they played. So I usually don't mention that, actually, because I usually don't think about it, because it was just a short little stint popped in my head, so I decided to mention it. You know how things go on.
Yeah.
You know how things go when we get together. Things just pop up.
That's right.
And then I came here and did offbeat news and trivia, and I thought Scott and I were trying to come up with a time when we were putting the show together, and I thought, well, what about 4 o'clock? And so I said, Scott, what about 4? So at first we were going to do Mondays at 4, and then we settled on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock. And so we kicked it off, and on it went. And I made a lot of friends and had a great time doing offbeat news and trivia, giving away all those gift cards, and did that for 3 years. And now I'm still kind of doing something a little different with the adventures page with the wife and I, and just having a great time doing with working with Amber. I always tell her on Saturday, I'm like, now we're working now, so we have to be serious. You know, they're half joking, you know, but we have a good time doing that. So that's kind of a little history of me. So 16 years in over the air radio. Is what it was.
All
yeah.
Right. Now, I know you and I have kind of talked about this before, but I'm going to ask the question. And I know you love what you're doing now.
Yeah.
Do you ever see yourself getting back into radio, whether it be internet radio or on a, you know, traditional station? Do you ever see that happening?
Well, you know, they say never say never. I recently was approached by a fellow that's a good friend of mine, and he said, hey, I'm going to start on a Southern Gospel station. He said, it's in Kentucky, he said, but I'm working from my home, and he's actually based in Lima. So he's going to be doing all the work from Lima, and then the station itself is in Xenia. Okay, so he's in Lima, he's going be shipping it to Xenia, in turn they ship all their stuff to Kentucky. And so, but they have a current DJ that's on there, and she's from that area. So he asked me if I'd be interested in down the road, and I told him, I said, well, and I paused. I said, I'll think about it. I said, I might be interested, but I'll think about it. I said, I do like the fact that I could work from my own home and just send in the tracks like that. And just, you know, just kind of, it will be real chill. Because I always told Amber, I said, that's kind of maybe the only way that I would do it again is if I could do it from home and just kind of relax and chill out. So they never say never. If, you know, if the right thing ever came along, I might. But right now, put it this way, right now I'm really satisfied of what we're doing with the Facebook page because it's going really well. We have a lot of nice response. People that we know can listen to it, and we've heard a lot of positive results from them. And we don't get thousands and thousands and thousands, you know, like some people, they go viral and you get thousands and thousands. I think at last count, we had over 1,100 people that follow our page. And, you know, I'm happy with that number. It goes up, you know, occasionally, and that's cool. And, you know, yeah. And then I've been doing some stuff with TikTok, messing around with that. You go over 1,000 followers, you can go live on TikTok. So I've been kind of messing around with TikTok a little bit. And so, you know, just having fun with the internet and doing things on my own. I have to say I really like being my own boss, unless it's the weekend on the Adventures program, and then Amber's the boss.
So have you had any thoughts, a YouTube channel?
I have posted stuff on YouTube, but for some reason, other than a couple of videos, it just doesn't, I haven't had the hits there, to tell you the truth. I haven't really had anything go probably past 50, except maybe one that maybe hit over 100, you know. So I do have a YouTube channel out there that I do post stuff. I post what they call shorts, and those are just considered under, I think, 2 minutes or something like that. So I do have a YouTube channel that's out there. I believe it's at Radio Nate OSU or something like that. But yeah, some people can get YouTube to really catch on, and maybe I'm still posting stuff there to see if I can get something to catch. Who knows? Maybe it'll catch fire. But yeah, we're on TikTok, we're on Facebook, of course, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. I need to do a little bit more with Instagram, because Instagram's a lot of pictures and things like that. So what we do would actually work pretty well on Instagram. So yeah, we're out there. We're out right there. So Facebook just seems to be the place that's really hit for whatever reason.
And so that's Amber and Nate Adventures.
Yes.
That's on Facebook.
On Facebook.
How do they find you on Twitter?
On Twitter, you can look me up, and my handle is at Radio Nate OSU.
And you've got a similar one for YouTube.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. Just look me up. Radio Nate OSU.
Mm-hmm. And then Twitter or Instagram?
Instagram, same thing.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. If you just remember Radio Nate OSU, remember Amber and Nate Adventures for Facebook, and look me up, Radio Nate OSU, for everything else. You'll find me. You'll find me. I thought about changing them to Amber and Nate Adventures on everything. We might go to do that. We might eventually change it all to that, you know. But so far, that's what the rest of them is. So,
and we want to give credit where credit is due. So where did your technical support come from?
Oh, my technical support. Well, AmberandNate.com is proudly ran by Adam the Computer Guy. Yes, sir.
For all your computer needs,
visit PCTech.biz or OhioNotary.us. Call 614-530-ADAM, and he runs AmberandNate.com for us. Yes, he does. He does all of our technical support.
And I've had Adam do a couple things for me. You know that Adam's done some things for me, and he does great work. So
he does. We have to get together with Adam
and do some
chatting about stuff.
And more than happy to give that plug for Adam, because he really does good work. He knows what he's doing.
He does. He was with, and I hope I'm doing the correct name. He was just with Jerry. Is it Jerry Ravish?
Jerry Ravish.
He was with him again doing some computer work. I saw, like, what, yesterday?
I saw it this morning, so it probably was.
Okay.
Yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. Just recently. So he gets out there. Our weatherman, news and weatherman, sure gets out there, doesn't he?
That's right.
For sure.
So what do you have as an adult? Do you have any family traditions that you've done, obviously involving with your parents and everything? Do you do the same thing every year for Christmas? Do you have some traditions? What's on the plans for this Christmas?
Okay. Now, my youngest brother and myself, my wife and mom, we just had our Christmas last night. And what we do is we have a nice meal together, and then we open all of our gifts, and then Dad always used, when Dad was living, he would read a Christmas story. Well, last night, Mom played a Christmas story on an old record. It was an old record, and it was about the fairy tale characters Cinderella and that, who are throwing a party for Santa Claus to give him a new sleigh, and the evil stepmother and all of them kidnap Santa. Anyhow, it was a really cute story. So she played a story for us instead of reading it. Yeah, so. So that's kind of our tradition, just have a meal, open the gifts, and then kind of listen to a, you know, little kid's story. And then for Christmas Eve, Amber and I just spend all that whole day together, usually.
Okay.
And we just spend the whole day just chilling out. We usually watch a movie, either It's a Wonderful Life, A Christmas Story, something like that. We usually get Chinese. That's typically our tradition. And we open each other's gifts. So we do that. And then we always do our stockings to each other on Christmas Day morning.
Okay.
And this Christmas Day, we're going to go over, and my brother will be here from Cincinnati. And so we're going to go over, and we're going to go over and see him. So
now, that was your brother that was in the hospital earlier this year from an accident? Or that's not your brother?
No, that's my brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law,
yeah, he's the one that broke his neck.
Yeah.
And yes, Wes could still use all of your prayers because he's still not doing well. He's tried to go back to work and was unable to go back to work. And so they're kind of in the tough spot this Christmas, so, unfortunately. So, you know, people,
yeah.
There's people out there that it's like that, sure.
Yeah, and unfortunately, too, lots of times after the months go by, we tend to forget about, you know. Everybody, you know, comes together when they're in the hospital and in the early stages of therapy and stuff like that, but we have a tendency sometimes to kind of
it's easy to forget, yeah. You know, I mean, especially if it's not your family or whatever, it's easy to forget,
yeah.
For sure. So
yeah.
Well, Pastor, it's been great sitting across from you again.
It has been great.
Time has just flown right by.
And
as it always does.
Yeah, I mean,
we could go for another hour.
We could.
Scott, you hear that? We're going for another hour.
No, we won't do that. But
we wouldn't do that to
but
him.
But I want to thank you for being here. It was great having you here. It's good seeing you. And you know, I'll tell a little secret that we make a point of seeing each other on a semi-regular basis.
Yeah,
off the air, but it's good to have you on the air.
It's good to be here with you, and we definitely touch base with phone calls or what have you, and
text, for sure.
All right.
Again, thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
And folks, I want to thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed listening to Nate and I just kind of rambling, but
yeah.
Hey, that's what we do best.
That's what we do best. You got it.
So have a Merry Christmas.
Your
we'll
place
see you
for holiday fun. For 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, reading, Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus.
First time Mary Ellen's ever done this, and this is going to be great because this is a...